by the light of the silvery moon. And I like to spoon with my baby in June. Yes, this is Martin Zender. Hi, just thought this little light up here, this large light, looks like the moon rising. It is morning here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and you can see that the light over my left shoulder, or I don't know how it looks to you, probably right shoulder. I think this image is still reversed for some reason. I don't know, but that's fine with me. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and we are going to look into our evangel a little bit, because all this stuff in here about remember the days of the eon, understand the years of generation after generation, that's fine for Israel, but look, their history goes back to Abraham. Even though God saw them through Adam, God can look at Adam and see all of us. It's so simple for him. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Through one man, sin entered into the world. Romans 5:8-17. And through one man comes the resurrection. Condemnation comes through one. Justification comes through Christ. Adam and Christ played against each other in Romans 5:17-19. Read verse 19. It's great. Condemnation versus salvation. So God can look through Adam and not only see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but my gosh, he can see all of us. So it's no problem for him. But look, we predate even Adam because we were chosen in him before the disruption of the world. Talk about a history. Now, I'm not saying that we were there. Of course we were not there. You were not there at the disruption of the world. None of you are that old. But I want to read Ephesians because as great as all this Israel stuff is, I'm going to get right back to the Israel text, but not before doing this for you and for moi. In Ephesians chapter 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as, see, this is important, this phrase, according as. God is the one who blesses us with all these spiritual blessings among the celestials in Christ. Why? Because, according as, in relation to, dependent on, he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. What happened at the disruption of the world? Well, everything was disrupted. Sin came into the universe. There was no earth yet. So it's not like sin came into the earth. Sin came into the universe. This was the ruination of the first earth, I remind you. And so we were chosen in him before that time. Now, our calling in Christ, in God, before we were even born, predated sin. That is why, this is important, that is why sin cannot screw up our calling. Now, Israel was called from the disruption of the world. This is before the blood of the Lamb, known from the disruption of the world. That might be unveiling 3:14. I'm not sure. Sorry. I'm sorry. But go to my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, and you will see these differences. I'm showing you the book on the laundry cam. You will see the differences in here. I have many differences. How many do I have in here? I have many differences between the gospel to the circumcision and our gospel. On page 233, I list how many differences? 27 or something, I don't know. 31! 31 differences. And one of them is that we were chosen in Christ before the disruption of the world, but Israel from the disruption of the world. I don't have my glasses, or I can't even see my own print here. But that is going to make you get this book. I want you to get this book, not because I want money, because, you know, these books, you can get them rather inexpensively. I don't make hardly any money from the sale of books, as I've told you, because I give most books away, honestly. So this is important to know that our calling predates sin. Therefore, sin cannot screw it up. Again, Romans 5:18. If Christ died for sinners, then he did his best for you in your worst condition. So there's absolutely nothing you can do subsequent to his call of you to improve your status with God. Israel is dated from Abraham, technically. So therefore, you know, that's all about sin with them. They have to overcome sin. They have to be careful they don't sin. They have to perform for God because he considers them that way. He just does. He doesn't have to, but he does. With us, he's lavish. He's lavish with us and shows us unprecedented amounts of grace. Grace that were in him the whole time, but were not unleashed until he called that worst sinner on the face of the planet, Saul, on the road to Damascus. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Song of Moses. Got to spend time here. I'm spending a lot of time here because we're going to go into the bowls, the seven bowls, the last calamities poured out on Israel, and we're going to need this preliminary stuff. And Israel's going to need it. And, you know, my expectation is they're watching this in the day of indignation by some means. And so this is important. It's important that you get this, Israelites, that you have a history with God and he's been faithful to you, and he will not deny his own promises. He swore an oath to your forefather Abraham, and he put Abraham to sleep when he cut the covenant. Remember, he split those animals in half. Sorry, all you animal lovers. I'm an animal lover too, but this is God. He can do what he wants. And God himself passed through the sacrifice while Abraham was asleep. God does such great things while humans are asleep. He put Adam to sleep and out came Eve. What a great thing that was. What did Adam have to do with it? Eve came out of him. Huh. He was asleep at the time. It was a work of God. Abraham was asleep when God made the covenant with him. So whenever God has to do something extremely important, he puts human beings to sleep. He put Abraham's sex organs to sleep, Sarah's as well, and then God performed his miracle. Great things happen when people sleep. This makes a great case for going to bed earlier, and I always recommend that. Go to bed earlier so God can do something great with your life. But I have to stay up late, Martin, so that I can get a lot done. Are you listening? You have to go to bed so you can get a lot done. I take my own advice. I will take my own advice eventually. No, I try to get lights out by 9:45, 10 o'clock. Now listen to this. Listen to this. He is preserving him, Jacob. This is verse 10. As the pupil of his eye. God is preserving Jacob as the pupil of his eye. Now we know God doesn't have pupils. Otherwise he would have to have a cornea, a retina. He would have to have rods, cones. Then he would have to have eyelashes and eyebrows, and then it gets crazy after that. Forehead wrinkles, smile lines, forget about it. It's a figure of speech. Now, when you see, you are looking through your pupil all the time. The pupil is the thing that expands and contracts, but you're not consciously aware that you're looking. Everything you see comes through your pupil, so it's constant. This is a really graphic, really wonderful metaphor, figure of speech to show how constant God's seeing is, the all-seeing eye of God. As the pupil of his eye, he's preserving him. How can you not preserve the pupil of your eye? You know, so it's just a colorful way of saying he'll never forget you. Now, this is the strange passage, verse 11. As a vulture is rousing its nest over its fledglings, is fluttering, is spreading its wings, he is taking him, Jacob, is lifting him up on his pinions. Pinions are part of the wings of the vulture. That's a vulture. That was a vulture. And, you know, I think the King James probably makes this an eagle. But the vulture is a noble bird, fowl, in the scriptures. Don't know why. It's a... what do you call it? Scavenger. Yeah, it's a scavenger. This is interesting. I just thought of this. Why the vulture? This is the right translation. The griffin vulture, specifically. The vulture goes toward the dead things. And it doesn't miss anything, right? It almost waits for you to die, and then it swoops in. And so the vulture, I just see an interesting analogy here that's just occurring to me. I've just told you how God puts humans to sleep before he does great things. And we know our truth in the body of Christ that we were crucified with Christ. The old humanity was crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6, and now there's newness of life. So, again, and God uses weakness, and he uses stumbling, he uses imperfection to highlight his glory. To me, it's a good illustration of the vulture that cares for dead. And in this case, we're looking at literal dead with a literal vulture, but if this is a figure of speech, I am applying it to the figuratively dead, those who are unresponsive, like Saul on the road to Damascus. The guy was a walking corpse. Yeah, he was a zombie, but it was figurative. He was dead to the things of the Spirit. It was like he was dead. That's the simile. Paul was like a dead man in that he was completely unresponsive to the things of the Spirit. A vulture-like spirit came down on him because God does not ignore those who are unresponsive. In fact, he calls those who are unresponsive so that he can, again, highlight his glory. Very difficult language here, again, why the vulture is rousing its nest over its fledglings is fluttering. Fluttering. Here is another active verb. It is fluttering. It reminds me, it goes back to that active verb that God is making him understand, making Jacob understand. And that's what it's going to take. God is going to make Jacob understand. And he waits, and he flutters, and he fusses over his young. I know that's the analogy here, is the vulture with its young, taking care of its young. But I'm taking the analogy further, because I'm Martin Zender. I can do this sometimes, take a little bit of a liberty, and I'm applying the vulture hovering over the corpses, and then God hovers over people who are figuratively dead and brings them to life, an awareness of spiritual things. All right, let's get off this vulture stuff. It's bothering me. Verse 12, Jehovah alone is guiding him. If only, I mean, this is wishful thinking. I appreciate Jehovah's thoughts here, but they chased after false gods because the false gods, like the false gods in our era, promised them prosperity, promised them instant gratification. It's the Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland prosperity message. It was going on in Israel, only in those days they had their false prophets, but their false prophets and their prostitutes led them to false gods who were all that and promised them worldly advantage. Jehovah alone is guiding him, and with him is no deity that is foreign. Now, that is true. With God, there's no deity that is foreign, because he's the one and only. And there are many that are termed gods. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us, there is one God. And for Israel, there is one God. But as I said, unfortunately, Israel goes after the other gods because they're not satisfied with the slow burn. They're not satisfied with the growth of God. Paul says in one place that we are growing in the growth of God. That's according to his timing and his pace. Oh, but no. We want to get ahead of God as if it were absolutely possible. It's not. But the idea being that we want instant gratification. Who doesn't? I do. You do. But God is teaching us patience. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience gives you growth in the timing of God. And that's not always an easy thing to bear, because we, like Israel, want it now. But Israel is learning, being educated, and we're being educated. And listen to this. This is verse 13. And he will cause him to ride on the fain heights of the land, and he will cause him to eat the produce of the field. I love that verb, cause. I hate that wimpy little verb allow. God allowed it. No, he causes it to happen. So he's going to cause Israel to rise to the heights of the mountains, and he will cause him, Jacob, to eat the produce of the field. This is his field, God's field. He will suckle him with honey from the crag. Honey from the crag. The crag is that rocky outcropping, and honey's going to come from it. Again, miracle after miracle. This is God. This is the God of Israel. Miracles are easy for him. He withholds them for a purpose. And if you think that the God who can open the floodgates is somehow not able to do it for Israel right now or for you right now, it's not true. It takes God to purposely withhold blessings for now, physical blessings, immediate gratification blessings, in order to profoundly lay them on you later. In the meantime, what are you learning? You're learning faith and you're learning patience. Ooh, I think those are two fruits of the Spirit. Yes, they are.